crunchy, crunchy. Nice. Or you sound funny. Talky, talky.
Not good?
Yeah. No.
Am I backing up? How about now?
Yeah, a bit better.
Should be better. I love the new headset.
Thank you. Thank you, Dylan, for making me look like a super nerd. Appreciate it.
Are we talking through that or just listening through it?
Nah,
or
just listening. Just listening.
Just for fun. It's for looks.
It's just a prop. It doesn't actually do anything.
Oh, sorry. I ruined the bit.
No, listening to it because I couldn't find my other headphones. How's it going?
I can't ignore this. I have a, I'll do my best to ignore it, but I have a new dynamic here. My shop neighbor is across one crappy stud wall from me, and I apologize in advance for what he's going to have to listen to. It's sitting across from me because this wall is like paper. It's basically like two pieces of drywall between us.
Oh,
it's
wow. Like, you can hear each
quiet.
Other.
You can like hear people whisper.
Wow. Yeah. Was there no one in there previously?
There was. I'm trying to think. It's been since like July since anybody was in there. So I'm like having to like correct my like personal behavior because I'm just used to like being an old man by myself here, you know? Like singing to songs and, you know, doing anything I want. And now there's humans around again.
Excellent. Excellent. How's it going?
Okay, good. Had a good week so far. Back to somewhat normal, which is nice. How about you?
I'm hoping that'll be next week for me. I've been not normal yet. Busy finishing that kitchen job. Got stuck in the city finishing that. And it was I just took my time on that kitchen install the other day. Kind of just committed to it for the day, which was not unusual for me. I usually feel like when I'm out on site, I'm like time pressure. Get it done, get out. But I just thought, I'm just gonna take my time, enjoy this and not feel like I need to rush. And ended up crashing on a friend's couch that night in the city. Went to a gig of a very old dear friend of mine who was playing that night, so kind of worked out nice. Went back the next morning and tuned up all the drawer fronts and cleaned up and got out of there. So yeah, no, it was a good week, but far from normal in terms of my normal goings on.
All right.
But yeah. Going all right here. But I was struck by like doing. It's funny doing a like on-site job with other trades. It reminds me why I don't like working with other trades.
Yeah, don't really do that. That's weird.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to be rushing into another kitchen. I'm not going to be rushing into another kitchen job. Everything went pretty smoothly, but I was just like, there's this funny thing that happens when you're the cabinet maker who can draw stuff and draw things accurately. You like become the default project manager just because even if you're not. And that was challenging and also frustrating at times of like, the electrician I was working with who I hadn't worked with before, I couldn't get my favorite one. So we didn't have good comms necessarily or an established relationship, and I was trying to sort of manage things remotely a little bit. And I was just sort of frustrated with the sort of apathy or just lack of initiative. Like, cool, why can't you just do that? Finish your bit of the job. Like, you don't see... The plasterer is coming this afternoon to do the next bit. Can you just prioritize this, please? Having to sort of hold their hand and sort of
go. No, thank you.
Yeah. I'm in no rush to keep doing that, but.
Sorry.
No, you go.
I kind of do the opposite now where I'm like, I kind of act dumb, you know? Like, I don't know. We just cut parts. I don't know how to, I mean, we communicate well and in advance and like all the things you need to, but I'm, can you work, can you figure out how to like coordinate these to finishing? No, we just have to start. I don't know how to do that. I'm sorry. Because it's just, and it's just like, for us, I have never found it to be a profitable endeavor. It's like, and my distaste of babysitting other trades, right? It's just like, maybe I'm killing a ton of business that way, but that's kind of fine right now. Like, we're losing jobs that it just don't make sense, and that's fine. Yeah,
keeping things simple.
Yeah.
It's good. Focused.
I'm sorry, though. I hate that.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I was just, yeah, it just reminded me why. Yeah, and, you know, maybe this is an Australian thing, maybe it's a universal trade thing, but, like, just the lack of comms with the same, no, I don't want to drag trades through the dirt, but, like, there does seem to be a bit of a theme, even with good ones, of, like, communication on timing is poor. Like, when are you going to be, when are you available? When are you going to be there? When are you going to show up? Just seems to be something that they don't deem necessary to communicate until maybe the last minute. And so when you're trying to manage a job remotely, it's like, like, I'll text a client if I'm going to be like 5 minutes different to my ETA, whereas this is like, anyway,
hours difference. Yeah, right.
Days, hours, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But good to have it done. Went well. Happy with the outcome.
That's good. Yeah, so was that was the one that you said your customer, you posted a screenshot of them being happy about?
Effusively happy.
Effusively happy. So happy they're cursing at you.
Yeah.
I think that's much more common in Australia. Like, I do not think we are if I had to somehow make Americans one big group, which is impossible anymore, people don't drop the F word to each other, you know, like, which I'm for that. It's just like, I think if I would do it, I would get like, it would be kind of a, I don't know about a problem. It'd just be kind of odd in our culture here, which is weird because everything else is not kind and normal otherwise. I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining. It was entertaining being on site with them actually, because they're publishing, like, literary agents in publishing, and it was like being on set of a sitcom. It was like, quite hilarious to sort of, because they're working at the kitchen table while I'm installing. Very, very entertaining banter. That's right. Just need a laugh box.
Everything you were doing just had a laugh track.
Yeah.
I only have one laugh. Sorry.
But thanks to Dylan for the recommendation on these earmuffs.
Dylan's got good muffs. Dylan's got good
muffs. He's got good muffs. Thank you, Dylan. But you know, the best thing about them is you can drive. It's what I wanted. They've got good sound isolation. I can continue a phone call like a meter from a running spindle cutting, you know, ply, and the person on the other end of the line can still hear me. And I can drove the van home yesterday with the windows down, like full wind noise, and I could still record clean and transcribe clean audio.
Those would not be legal here to drive with on. Not that we have good laws either, but
what's illegal about
anything in your ears for like for emergency vehicles and stuff?
What? But
I don't know.
You can't put things in your ears when you're driving.
No, because people don't get over. Like, I'm not going to go on this rant, but people don't get over for emergency vehicles anyway. But you're supposed to be able to like hear the things around you, realistically. Yeah. I get it. Sometimes I wear these in the car, especially when my kid was younger, because It was so obscenely loud. and there's just like no stopping them sometimes, you know? Like
yeah.
nothing you say sometimes. Or do will stop the mm-hmm. ear-curdling screams.
Sometimes you just need ear protection. That's okay.
I don't leave the house without these in my pocket because of that reason, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I think our greatest chance of getting industrial deafness is from our children, not our machines, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. For the next few years, anyway, at least.
Yep.
Woof, woof, woof.
Burp, burp.
Let's see what's been happening here. I have had an interesting week in that sales have still continued to be good and consistent, which has been fantastic. And there was this weird thing where I've been thinking about wanting to get back to like doing true like new product development, not like basically iterative product development is what I do kind of, you know, every day there's a little tiny iteration to something. Oh, tweak the printing or, you know, or even like we just are testing a different version of the Dust Boot. It's the first time I've modified the port since we started, basically. Because they're shop sabers that need it to turn sideways, like 90 degrees counterclockwise.
All right.
And I've had people ask about this. It's a weird, not popular shop saber model. And it needs basically one of the baby pants legs to be like shorter. And so I was like, I finally was just like, that doesn't look too hard. I could probably do that, you know, like where you just say no to like weird modifications that like for us, it's like, do I want to make two of these ever? Like, is it worth it, you know? Because it's not like a, you know, maybe in your case, it's a $2,000 order for that one off. For me, it's a $400 order that's going to take me as much time to modify it, you know, as it's worth almost. But I was like, I've had this question a lot. So we modified it like a day. I printed it. We sent it off and he's going to test it for us. And then the next day I had a guy who was like, I have two of these machines. I hadn't posted about it at all. Yeah. So basically in like a week I've had potentially three of them. And I know there's people we can go back and look through. So that was like one iterative product development. But I've been wanting to do like these new things. I've showed you some of them. They're like kind of bigger new categories for us. And I spent almost all of Monday and most of Tuesday this week doing that.
Wow.
I kind of felt weird about it, almost like it was wrong. Like, shouldn't it be firefighting right now? You know?
Yeah.
What's wrong here? Why am I so content to just, also just personal, have been pretty chaotic with family sickness and not being at work. And so I was just like, I felt like I had 2 days on Monday to work all at once. So nice. I was just like, I've been here for like 8+ hours. What am I doing?
Delightful. What's the secret? How do you get into that space? What did you turn off?
Well, as I've been saying to people, family, friends, I feel like I've worked about 30% of my available time this year so far. So I was kind of due for it in a way, you know, like it took me a long time to get this 2 days that had most of my normal work day available. Yeah, Erin had gotten sick last week, and I was kind of solo parenting most of the week. She got pretty, like, a stomach bug that really took her out, so.
Shit.
And daycare had been out the week before that, and it's been a silly, you know.
Yeah, it's funny the contrast now when you actually occasionally get in a full a full 9-to-5 or whatever your equivalent is. It's like, oh, how indulgent.
No, yeah, and I had gotten there, it was like 8:30 to 5, and I was like, this is mind-blowing. Like, I looked at the clock, and I thought, oh, it's about time to go, because usually I have to go pick up my kid at daycare every other day. It'd be like 2:30, and I thought it was about that time on Monday, and it was like 12, and I was like, oh, shit, this is
delicious.
This is crazy.
Awesome.
It reminded me of the days in my hot yoga studio when my overhead was $400 a month, and it was just me, and time was very cheap, and I was trying to come up with ideas for products, and I would just spend, it's like I went back to early design school, I would just spend like all day, every day for weeks working on new ideas, on sketch paper, modeling it, and I was like, I had like 2 days of that, and I felt alive again, you know?
Delicious. I want to go to there.
Memory. Yeah.
That's awesome. Were you purely digital? Like, were you just working on Fusion models, or were you jumping between
Monday, Tuesday,
physical stuff?
Yeah, mostly digital.
Yeah.
Doing it's a product that I started last year, and I've forgotten I had made an aluminum version because I'd been printing versions of it to see sizing and stuff and fitment.
Ah, cool.
And so I basically was just like going back through of like, oh, what's all the things I wanted to change last time we talked about this? So I didn't really need, I want to get back. I even bought like a big piece of steel that I have not cut yet. That's sitting on I was like looking through my emails. It's like, oh, I bought a big piece of steel I haven't cut yet somewhere in the shop.
Sitting on the floor somewhere here, I'm sure.
I think I even know where it is, which is even crazier after the move. But yeah, so that'll be, I'm excited. It's going to be a big, big different thing for us. I'll talk about
this
it
soon. This is that sort of size thingy.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know the one you're talking about. See? Mm-hmm. Exciting.
I'm hopeful it will have the kind of impact that the Fangs have had, which was, hopefully it's not the inverse where I didn't see the Fangs coming, being popular, and this new thing I feel like is going to be popular, and hopefully they both are popular. I don't know. We'll see. Interesting.
Fingers crossed. That's cool.
Yeah.
Very jealous.
You can do it. You can do it too. Ignore your email. That's really the key. Ignore your email for as long as possible.
Yeah.
These thoughts a little bit.
Question for you. Random question. Are you doing any remote control of Cursor? I know you use Cursor a lot.
Agent
but
stuff?
No, more like, if you're in the car and you've got an idea, can you communicate with your Cursor environment?
I did do that last winter a bit, and it does work pretty well.
How?
You get, it's kind of like you, it's almost like texting an employee to get something done, if I want to say it like that, where it's like I get on the web, cursor.com/dashboard or something.
Oh, really?
And it's tied into your repo. And how it used to work, it might have changed, was it would create a new branch for IO, pull it off the main branch, and then do a whole like plan and iteration based on your description. I think it usually asks you questions, kind of like a plan too. And then it just goes and does it. The downside is it's pretty token expensive to do it that way. It's like a lot of the local development you do, even with the models, is less so you kind of get a few of those, and it really consumes a lot, and I feel like there's not as much control, and you know, often I just like write down the note of like, hey, I want to work on this when I get back. But it was kind of fun playing with it. It may be so better now.
It wasn't a third party thing. You were doing that through Cursor channels somehow.
Through the website. You could do it through Slack, I want to say, too.
Whoa, okay.
Actually, I didn't do it that way.
All right, good to know. Slack. Thanks. I'll look into it in more detail. I don't know. I wanted that functionality the other day to edit something on the go, but I'll check it out.
Yeah. Right.
I'm still blown away by Cursor, like, particularly lately doing Home Assistant stuff where it's driving the terminal. Just like, gosh, this tool is powerful. Like, for doing actual, when you actually want to get something done on a computer. Damn, it's amazing.
Yeah. You mean like the terminal that it uses inside of Cursor? Right, like its own built-in terminal window or something else?
No, like because it can take command of your computer's, what's it called, CLI, like it can take command of the computer's terminal and just run whatever it needs to run to get a job done.
I haven't run all those commands inside. It's the same thing, I think. it's running.
I think it's the same thing. Yeah.
Right. But I have it do some fantastic things like I've had it generate FFmpeg video like conversions for me for like videos I want to put on the landing page of Airshop, where I'll take it from like my local screenshot to like a WebM style, and it just now does it automatically when I say, here's this file I want to put on the landing page, and it like automatically converts it to WebM, which is like 20% the file size, you know.
Cool.
So it basically loads instantly, and that's all done on like local terminal commands, because FFmpeg is just CLI, like a terminal command based.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't have a GUI. But I don't do a lot. I think you're probably doing more like that than I am.
It's just because I've been faffing around with the Home Assistant OpenClaw stuff. I've been doing more CLI stuff maybe lately. And yeah, have been struck by how useful it is.
Yeah.
How is the shop, the shop of air?
The shop of air. It's been going good. I think the major thing I did since we talked last was I moved our documentation, or like docs, to a different platform, I want to say, where I'm actually like self-hosting it, which I'd never had done before. Which, you know, like it's kind of like the first, like I did, I compare this to like, I didn't do my own oil changes on my cars until I suddenly had to replace an engine because we couldn't afford to do it any other way. I replaced the engine in that car basically with YouTube in like 2016 or something. And now it's like, oh, an oil change? That's like nothing. And it's kind of the same with like self-hosting something like a help site seemed impossible until you start to build your, you know, you spend a year building your own apps.
Mm.
And now that's like easy. And what's amazing about it is it's all written, all the articles are just markdown, so I can like write my own, but also Cursor knows how to look at my repos and I can have it document features for me.
Hell yeah.
And make the doc page itself and update it if it needs to be and link perfectly between the two. And I'm like, today I was putting the index so it can search all the doc pages.
Yeah,
go to the top of the page and use the search. It feels like magic. Like the only thing I have to do really is provide screenshots and like if I want to do like videos. But I think there's actually packages for that. I think it's going to be pretty stupid though. I don't think it'll be very good at it.
Yeah. The documentation is amazing. I've been doing it more and more lately, just for my own internal projects, like because of this like weird AI-fueled amnesia, which I'm getting from like working on too many projects at once and then not being able to remember what I was doing or even why I was doing it. I've been trying to make a point of when I've like finished a session at the end of the night, whatever I was working on, whether it was like the project for home, the battery BMS stuff, or like something for work or something with Home Assistant, I'll be like, cool, can you, whether I'll tell Cursor or my agent Sim3, I'll be like, cool, can you just like give me a block of markdown about what everything we just achieved, what the challenges were, and like what my why we even started this project. What was the like, what was the drive or the incentive to solve this problem? What was the original problem we were trying to solve? And then I've been just dumping that into Notion in the relevant spot, and then I've got, you know, a file to pick up the project again. So, you know, 3 days later when something breaks in Home Assistant because a sensor's IP address has changed, I can pick it up again and remember what the hell I was doing. Because I was finding I kept ending up in this spot where something would break. I'm like, I can't even remember how I solved this 3 days ago. What was it? What were we doing? What was it for?
Right. No kidding. No, I keep hearing people talk about that.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of concerning.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, like if you believe it all in that like memory palace idea where it's like so much of this is being created where you're not doing it, right? And so what you're trying to remember is the conversations you're having about it. Mm. And suppose it's valuable then to be reviewing it so that you have some awareness. But I don't know, kind of like relying on search for file organization, which is kind of tough for me still as like an elder millennial to like just trust, especially because Google Docs search is terrible, that you'll be able to find something again. It's what they always claimed you're supposed to be able to do. But anyway, I watched this really good interview and I cannot find it again, but I'll link to it when I find it. It's in my YouTube history somewhere. It was an interview with the lead developer of Gemini. And what was really interesting wasn't talking about like the nitty gritty, which he was really good. He just a really smart young, he's like probably in his 20s, I swear. Super smart guy. I think he helped make VS Code. He made like helped make Copilot, and then Google bought him, basically was like, hey, we want you here. And now he's leading Gemini development. And they're putting out between 100 and 150 features a week for Gemini, using Gemini to make Gemini. And it was mind-blowing, like, just the way he was talking about it, but also he would screen share on the podcast and show how he was using it. All right. And just some of his, like, tips for, I don't know, just really interesting and kind of, like, I think you hear a lot of, like, I don't know about griping, but like hand-wringing about AI tools. And it was just kind of a nice, of course, he's going to be on the positive side of it, but just his thinking about where it goes and what they're doing now and how smart it is and like the tools they've built internally for like auto fixing bugs and just, yeah.
Yeah, cool. I'd be keen to check that out if you can find the link.
Yeah. Can't seem to remember his name.
I see you've been doing more promo for Airshop, little videos, Kanban cards, and
the trying.
Line. Yeah.
Trying to summon my inner gem video making skills. I don't know. It's really tough to start a. I'm not naturally like good at making these, I don't know, videos, I suppose. And it like takes me a lot of iterations. So I don't know. They're not performing well. And I think part of that's a new account, but also I'm just trying to find like a style or like a, I think they're too, yeah, they're not hitting right. Like some people will comment, but they're not like hitting an algorithm sense. And
yeah,
sometimes sure. I kind of fall into this trap of like, it's just not going to be content that hits the algorithm. But like, that's just not true. You can make content about anything that does well.
True. Yeah, challenging.
Right. I think that's my like, I'm well aware of it and I struggle at times to break my brain out of like, not selling directly, which doesn't work today. Nobody wants the sell. They want, like you said, like the story, the personal side of it. I can't. I've just been really struggling. So basically what I've been doing is to attempt to make something, even though I know it's not like gonna hit perfectly. Just something.
Yeah, sure.
Get content started. So,
yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. It's not gone. I need like a producer to like slap me and go, no, don't sell. Show.
Tricky.
Taylor Mullen. I found him. He built GitHub Copilot at Microsoft. Now he's at Google and his team ships 100 to 150 features a week using AI.
Yeesh.
I suppose to wrap up my the Airshop segment, I suppose, because it is what it is. made a new doc site, which is nice. And we've been, I finally was like content that I felt like it was in a good place to like start building out our own like Kanban cards. So that's part of what I've been making content about is I bought two printers. It's like 3 o'clock at night and it was a weird day. I couldn't sleep. The kid had woken up and I like bought a printer that I could pick up from my grocery store and my wife saw it. She's like, you bought another printer, didn't you? And I was like, yeah, I was like, it's for a very specific reason. It'll have great ROI. Don't worry. Like we've had this running joke about like, I used to buy surplus store print or surplus auction printers back when we were in like a apartment in Nebraska and fix them up and sell them again. And at one point we'd have, she said, I have a hard line at 7 printers in this apartment. You know, wow. Like, so we just continue.
I didn't know this about you. I've got little,
yeah,
well, little,
our joke here is printers.
Yeah. Little whiffs of it. Like with your tape machines and stuff. I was like, why does Justin have multiple of these secondhand tape machines? That's strange.
Probably my TISM of some sort.
That's cool.
Vacuums and printers and anyway, the idea, as I tried with one of the three printers we use, we're talking about paper printers here, to make Kanban cards. There's some ones I was working on revisions.
They're delightful.
They're just 3x5-inch cards, and an Airshop produces those to print directly. And I realized pretty quickly, like, we need a specific printer. Sounds ridiculous, but we need a specific printer for the easiest way to just generate them and not have a problem with, like, oh, it doesn't, you know, the paper's not in there. Like, you just need to print directly. So basically at this point, you can click the Kanban card button, click print, and, you know, if the last thing in your browser was printing that, it will just start printing. And the first printer I bought from my grocery store, because it was on, it was available there, and it was the one I wanted. It was the one I wanted. I'll give you, like, it wasn't just a random one. I was doing AI research, and it told me that it would fit Kanban cards sized, and it wouldn't. It was like a quarter inch too wide, so they wouldn't go through. So I tested that. It didn't work. I bought another one. It was there the next day, and it does fit, and it just prints them. So that's been a big unlock where now we can one-click make cards and Ricky's been and then laminate them, and they're going all over the shop now, which is nice. And it,
beautiful.
It has a different feel of, like, polish. And we've been talking about this for, like, a year. Like, you know, when Airshop's got this ready for us, this is going to be such a difference of, like, awareness of what we need to order and, you know, when you reorder. And so it's been a nice change.
Pleasing. Yeah, I've been frustrated with our Kanban, the lack thereof. Like, I don't know. It's not really a major problem, but we've definitely let our systems lapse since the sort of the glory days of Airtable managing inventory and barcode scanner and QR codes in every box of hardware and blah, blah, which no one ever used the barcode scanner, much to my disappointment. You know, it used to be quite a tight system, and now it's like very casual, post a photo on Discord, hey, we need more 180 grit sanding pads, and then it's up to me to
say no,
remember to order them. And then, you know, weeks later, John's like, ping, have you ordered the new aluminium sheets we need? And I'm like, oh, crap, stop whatever I'm doing in the moment. Like, yeah, yep. So it's gotten pretty sloppy. And it's stayed sloppy because nothing bad has happened yet. But it annoys me, and it's something I want to get on top of again. You know, I used to be reasonably structured about it. Like, I would only do ordering once a week. I think it was like Tuesday afternoons was like my ordering slot, and I would just save it all till then, unless there was something really urgent. And that was working well. But Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I even having made software that makes this work better, it's tough. It's tough to like I was mentioning a couple weeks back how we are, you know, things have been hot and heavy. And so some of the things I was having trouble like finding larger quantities of and feeling like, oh, this is going to cut off, you know, eventually we're not going to have these orders like this. So I was having to like order stuff like every other day to keep it coming, I guess. One of the things we were waiting on a supply coming from overseas of like washers, and it was like 5,000 washers, you know, coming in. And it, I don't know if this happens for you, but it's like I get a tracking from the factory and it just doesn't update for like weeks. And then suddenly it's horrible. Like, we're in California. And I'm like,
yeah,
sweet. It would have been nice to know like a week ago so I didn't order all these more expensive ones. But you know, that is what it is. So I was just trying to like patch us along until then. And so we were having discussions this week. We went out and had a nice discussion about like, what do we do with Kanban cards? Because it's like, there's one thing to make them. There's one thing to put them in the bins. But then it's like, what's the system? Do you take it out? Do you just scan it and put it back? Do you put it in a bin somewhere? Do you process them? Do we bring them to me?
I've never understood. A discussion. Yeah. What's your current decision on that? Because this is a bit of Kanban cards that I've never been super clear on as like that specific question.
Right. I mean, it doesn't work if there's no buy-in, for sure. Like if people don't believe it's going to help them, right? Like,
yeah.
Help the company, help Jim, help whoever. But I think and something I've been striving for is there needs to be a satisfaction in that system working and like it being up to date and the card being useful. And so where we got to, which was good to just like talk about it instead of assuming or like the boss handing it down, was like, all right, how do you want to deal with this? How does Ricky want to deal with it? And it was grab the card when you know you need to reorder something, bring it over to our shipping computer, and we're going to make two separate bins. It's like inbox and done or dealt with or something, you know, like a red and a green bin that they fit into. And so you're going to grab them all by the end of the day, scan them, update the status, put them in the other bin. And then that's the end of like his responsibility or whoever touches the card's responsibility. Until the thing gets here, then the card goes back with it to the stock bin or whatever.
Yeah.
And we're going to try that and see how we like that.
Yeah. But cool.
I don't want a stack of cards on my desk, really. Like, I don't need that. I just need it to be an air shop.
Well, indeed. Yeah. Yeah, cool. Curious to see how that evolves.
Scanners really satisfying, by the way. I know probably think that too, but the scanners.
Oh, so satisfying. Blip, blip. Yeah, I love them.
I just lit up my computer. I have done some really nice stuff where if you have AirShop open and, you know, like it's the front window and you scan something like a Kanban card, it just goes there. You don't have to be in a certain window. It auto like recognizes it and gives you a little notice at the bottom of the page that's like, hey, I found that item for you.
Dang.
Nice.
Wow.
Very fun.
That's pretty hot. Yep.
I had to show, the other thing, I need to make content about this because I had to show Ricky that because he was kind of hesitant on like, it's been like a 5-year process of getting him to use QR codes. And he's finally like last year, he finally hit the like, oh, these are great. And I was like, I know. But the scanner that he has on his, you know, a couple of different places around, he was like really hesitant to use it. And I was like, here, just watch how cool this is. And he was like, whoa, I didn't know it would do that. And I was like, I know.
Building systems for other people and having them use it in the way that you hope they'll use it is a challenge. I was chatting to my cabinet maker buddy yesterday, who runs a shop with like 17 staff, and he was saying that like that's his primary job these days, is just trying to build really simple, yeah, repeatable systems for other people and then like incentivize them to use them. It's like, I'm just going to build this meeting template for you. I need you to run this meeting every week with these people and send me the report on it. And if you do that, you know, 9 times out of 10 for the next 6 months, I'll give you a pay rise. It's like, cool. He's identified that that needs to happen. You know, it's going to be a useful output and it's going to be an important thing for those team members.
Right.
But it has to like make it pretty like blatantly, you know, make it quite a blunt sort of instrument of incentive to actually get them to execute on it. So,
right.
Yeah. Challenges.
Yeah, I don't know how, because it's like punitive things don't, I don't really believe in punitive things in terms of like, if you want the person to stay, that's not going to work. So it's like, if they're not doing that job, then there's probably something else that means that they probably shouldn't stay either. You know, like it's if that seems like not to speak for your team, it seems cultural at that point, like that you can't get buy-in on a system. And also maybe that means that the system isn't made well in the first place.
Totally.
Not speaking to you, just like.
No.
The things I've tried in the past that haven't worked.
Yeah. What else? What else is cracking?
I don't know.
You got your bamboos into Home Assistant, I saw.
Yeah. They work pretty well at home because Home Assistant's like site specific, as far as I can tell, like I can't like crossover.
Annoyingly, yes.
And for some reason I can see the camera basically instantaneously on like a local network sense, which is cool from the bamboos. And you can have all these like controls and stuff, and but I can't get the live view to work here where I have three bamboos here, which would be ideal that I just have a window open where it's like, oh, just click into all of them real quick. But it is nice to be able to like see details. You can like do fun automations now with like, I could have 5 lights in front of me, and whenever a bamboo is done, it could tell me, it could light up a light, you know. That's a very obvious, simple option.
Tower lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Bing!
Yeah, something like that. It's interesting. What you can, all of the different sensors on those printers is absolutely overwhelming. It's like 100 things, I want to say, per printer that dump into when you add it to Home Assistant, and you're like,
oh, they all get revealed into Home Assistant. Yeah, well.
Progress. I figured out how to turn them all off, but
yeah,
a little crazy.
No, it's crazy. I've noticed that. Yeah, when I connected one of my solar Victron components, I was like, whoa, what are all these entities? So many.
Right.
Cool.
Well, on the home, I haven't spent a lot of time, but what I did just figure out today. I kept trying to figure out, it's like I have old buttons that now don't do anything because they're like the old system. I need a graveyard, donate them or something, just different stuff that old bad systems that have broken. And I was like, I just want a way to like turn on or off something. And I know you've done it on your dashboards, and I had to like Google it. And it's just a thing called input.button that you can make like UI buttons and like trigger an automation that way, or like toggle on without like needing a physical, like my versions was always like, oh, I have a physical button to do something.
Mm.
And you can just I know you have them, right? Like turning on and off or kill switching your
Yeah, I've got them in Home Assistant. Yeah.
Home Assistant. Right.
But what's input dot button?
I found that those it's what it calls it, but it's just a button, like a UI button, like click this
in Home Assistant.
Do something. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I thought you meant another thing. Yeah. Input button. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I'm using to pause the robots remotely. Pause and resume. It's good. I've been slowly adding more things like that. I do like it.
I will say there's some, it's like, it looks pretty good, but some of this stuff is still very, very like, I'm a developer who made this for developers. You know what I mean? Like the UI is, when I go to add, I got device, automation, area, person. But like, this is part of my like straw. I was like, all right, well, the device to add a button, but that's not really right. You have to like.
There's some weird stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah, I love my robot pause button. Like, it's exceptionally handy. Like, just working around the machine, like, being able to just whip out my phone and pause it mid-cycle, adjust something in the setup, and then walk away and hit resume. It's like, it's great. I love it.
Yeah.
Very handy little add-on. Dragging those old controllers into the current century. Kicking and screaming. I think I need to pay for some techs to come and look at the robots. I've got a few little electrical gremlins, which I can't find. And they, the guys that helped me with the spare parts last year when I stacked a hard drive on one of them, have quoted me on coming and doing like sort of preventative maintenance on all three, like checking the, you know, doing an oil change basically, and electrical check, mechanical check. It's like, it's a lot of money to get them out here for like a two day. It's basically 2 days of a tech on site and accommodation and driving, and it's like $5,000 investment. But
oh my god,
I'm getting closer to being like, okay, these things are becoming useful now. I should probably do this before something really goes wrong. Like, I've had this little error on Abby, the main sanding robot, lately, like a couple of times. It's just stopped mid-cycle, and it's got like a short circuit error on axis 4. And it's fine to just resume and keep going on, but then it happens again sometimes. And like, I've dug in and checked all the cables I can reach and check connections and stuff, but I can't find anything wrong on, so it's kind of a little bit beyond me. I should probably just get someone who knows these things better to come and have a look, but find it hard to stomach the dollary dues. Maybe, yeah. But I feel like I need someone who's like intimately familiar with ABB to be like, oh yeah, when that happens, it's probably this connector here, because that one is the one that gets twisted up and worn the fastest, or, you know, whatever the answer is. I feel like it's a more specific thing, but
I don't know. Let's see. I don't know. Yeah.
Beep, beep. We're very close to shipping PS2.
That's what I was going to ask about. Good.
All right. Nice.
You go.
Rody is like doing the volume packaging plan of how it flat packs. Start designing doing some cardboard engineering for a international package for it. And I hope that it all survives. And hopefully ship it to the US in next few weeks.
It's amazing. You have the one customer that's going to trial or start with it, right? You don't have multiple yet.
No, just the one.
Nice.
One operator up in Washington State. And Yeah, it's starting to get exciting. Like, I think maybe just because I've turned off all my news feeds, I'm feeling more optimistic about it now.
You mean with my country?
Yes. I was not feeling optimistic about it at all for a while there, but like,
well,
I just turned off my news and...
temporarily down,
oh, yeah.
I guess. I don't even know. I don't trust any of it to stay useful.
Yeah. And I had this amazing, this really convoluted US tax form that I have to fill out for like royalty, claiming royalties between Australia and the US. And I was texting Eric, my guy in Washington State, about it. And we're on a FaceTime, we're chatting, and I was texting him details as we're chatting. And then I texted something about this W-8 Ben form, US tax form, accidentally texted it to my client who I was working on the kitchen job, which, you know, completely out of context, like the form, you know, lasts for 3 years, blah, 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 something. And she texted back straight away. I was like, oh yeah, I know those. It turns out she does them for her job, like, because she's a, you know, a publishing agent. She deals with them all the time. And ended up very kindly offering of like, oh, I can help you with those forms. I can show you what a filled out one looks like. And it's probably actually pretty similar to what you're trying to do and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, I'm glad I accidentally sent you that to you. That worked out well.
Not like an AI image.
Yeah.
Like, you've already, God, I didn't even see this. Yep, that looks accurate. I'll send that to my wife. She'll
God, that one's like for Aaron. Printer.
That is crazy. Aaron will love this.
I love mine. Thank you. That's delightful.
So there's an older one. There's a really good one up here. It just looks nothing like you. It like completely botched the lookalike, but the hot dog is amazing.
Oh wow. I love the George Michael effect on that first one. It's great.
Yeah.
Dig it.
Kind of looks like my friend Andy a little bit.
Cute. Let's
see what she says live on the show. I look like such a slob. Maybe it's just printer stacked.
The printer slob. Yeah.
I also love that, like, I don't, it's such a shit show that I don't even have a place to put a microphone. I have to hold it.
Excellent.
A very nice sized hot dog there.
So yeah, I'm going to quiz you about tooling, not on the air, but maybe,
yep,
maybe the PDX can supply some custom tooling for the PS2.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely.
Could be sick.
Yeah, one of them, but I have to just look into the second one to find the right source. But yeah.
Nice. Very good.
The question is, maybe we have to beep this. Will there be, is the plan to have more than, right, like regional, like DAL making companies?
No.
Other, what are you calling them? PS2 providers?
Yeah, but they're going to be region locked, as in this will be the US exclusive at this stage.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see. So, like, he's the only American one right now, or will be.
Yep. Yeah. That's the idea.
See.
There's version 2 will hopefully ship to Finland in the middle of the year, and that'll be the Scandinavian region.
Jeez.
Then probably still in talks with a European maker, and then maybe UK will be a separate zone as well. So, yeah, I don't know. It's all experimental, up in the air, trying to work things out, but that's the current vibe. But yeah, US and Finland are looking pretty firm at this stage.
Yeah. I just had this thought where you could, you probably thought of this. You could have a separate, I don't know if you have like a standalone URL for Kitaparts, but have the builder there. And then once they go to checkout, or maybe they choose at the beginning, they like get sent to the supplier.
Yeah, I was riding my bike into town for a meeting the other day. I was like, Well, I don't own kitaparts.com. Idiot. Like, on my bike.
Do you now?
Oh, yeah. By the time I got off the bike, I owned it. But like,
you need to cut this?
Yeah, that was a quick impulse purchase on the go. So, yeah.
It's not secure. Damn it.
Damn.
Damn it. Cool.
Cool.
Amazing. That's fun. Weird other thought, because it came up talking to a friend who is discussing in an inverted way, somebody seems kind of scam potential, but he's a high-end woodworker in the States here, and they were asking about sending one of his pieces of furniture to Australia. Mm. And he was like, just get somebody in Australia to make this? You know, it's like, he's very talented, but, you know, also just a little crazy. And so we were talking about like wood movement on a boat, you know, like, and how you would even potentially defend against that. And I was like, well, when, you know, machine tools get shipped overseas, they put them in like a bag, basically, you know, like they enclose them,
seal them up. Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it would be easy enough with the PS2 to like seal them up, but I don't know. Maybe worth looking into, like a sealed container.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah, it's going to be pretty compact, I think, in its shippable form, because we're going to have the end user cut the plywood enclosure for it.
It's so great.
So it's going to be, it's not going to be a huge package, I don't think, but we'll see how it all bundles up.
You mean it can't, like, handstand and, like, cut its own plywood container? You must get an ABB robot to assemble said PS2.
Yeah.
Connect to Raspberry Pi for brain.
Cool. I should probably toddle off. Anything else on your list?
No. Have a good week.
You too. Enjoy the printers. Bye.
Oh, I will. Bye.
Sweetie, have a good show. What you do is so important.
The nerdy pair. Dylan said they changed my life. Now I'm a believer, I swear. Looking like a call center hero. Boom mic hanging by my face. But the audio is crystal clear. Even in the loudest place. Dylan's got good muffs. Dylan's got good muffs. Dylan for the muffs. Crashed on a couch in the city. Drove the van home the next day. Full wind noise, windows open. Every word came through okay. Dylan's got good muffs. Dylan's got. Spindle. good muffs. Thank you, Dylan, for the muffs.